Good evening, West Coast.
Good evening, East Coast.
We are one East Coaster short tonight.
One of the legs of the stool has broken off and been cast out as driftwood.
Nah, he's got a cold.
What's that? A cold?
I don't know. Apparently, you know, he took his mask off and got a cold.
He was such a good guy.
He was a good guy. I think he'll live, though.
Mike was
I think he'll live the telltale. Yeah, we'll pour one out for our homie in a second. In the meantime, let's roll the intro. Shall we?
Let's go.
Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And be sure to find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We welcome your suggestions. Also, any, you know, ransom letters. What else we got here? Cease and desist letters.
Oh, we're good with those.
Oh, we get a lot of those. I'm flooded. My lawyer's tired of talking to me.
The What We Watch When We Drink legal team is constantly battling the postcards and letters that come in telling us to shut the hell up.
That, and I got to stop with the accents too, apparently.
Yeah, we are so not PC. Not PCs. So this is episode 16. It's our quinceañera plus one.
Oh, nice. Quinceañera. Yeah. Is that 15 in Spanish?
That's 15, that's a 15.
Oh, is that the big birthday milestone?
That's the big party when you're 15 years old. And you get a
nice,
cute little dress. Yeah. So here we are. We haven't chatted for a few weeks. So we're just going to chat some TV, talk some whiskey, and see what's up. What is up?
Yes. I don't know. I'm trying to decide which one I want to start with. What do you have for whiskey selections tonight?
Oh, boy. The Southern California Whiskey Club, we had a thrush tasting on Friday night.
Could you say that again? What was that?
I can try. I probably won't get it right. It's called a thrusk.
A thrusk. What are the letters?
A-U-C-H-R-O-I-S-K. It's a Speyside distillery, part of the Diageo group. So we had a really fun tasting with Ewan Morgan from Diageo. They're
nice.
Global brand ambassador. So I have a few things here I'm going to choose from, and I think I'm going to start my little trip here with the lowest ABV item, the vintage 18-year-old, 46% ABV. And what do you got?
I have a Powers Three Swallow single pot still Irish whiskey. I'm not sure what the ABV is. I think, 43. So not the bare minimum, not the maximum, not quite a five, but close.
Is Powers one of the Cooleys or Middletons?
Probably. Yeah, I think it is part of the Middleton distillery. I mean,
that's a good ding. That was a good ding.
Let's cheer.
Nice.
Did you pour one out for our homie?
We'll do that later.
Okay. All right. We'll drink this one. Nice. Okay. Yeah, this is, I don't know. I'm on the fence with this one. I like the Powers Gold, and I bought this one. I thought, I need a new bottle of Irish whiskey. I was going to get the gold, and it was like 30 or 40 bucks. I'm like, let me splurge a little bit. So I picked this one up, and I think it was like 50 or 60. And I haven't gone back to it in a while, so I have to decide. Maybe tonight I'll decide if I actually like it.
Well, that's
it's not bad, but I thought it was going to be a little bit more. But Irish whiskey tends to be on the mellow side.
Yes, I remember having Powers. The last time I had Powers was when I was in Ireland, like 25 years ago.
Okay, I like it. It's good.
All right.
It's a little punchy, too. It's a little punchy. It's enjoyable.
Ooh.
How's that one?
It's really good. There's a little bit of a Khalil-iness to it. And the sweetness, there's no smoke. Bit drying on the end. What surprised me was it packed a little punch. It's 46%. It has an amazing, amazing nose. It is just spectacular. So, onwards and upwards.
Excellent. So where do we start? You want to start with what we watched?
Why don't we do what we normally do with this crazy podcast of ours, and we'll talk.
Is it crazy, though?
Yes, there are people that say we are crazy for doing this. And there are
I thought you meant... Yeah, because we don't actually go crazy.
We do not, no. We are as sane as they come.
One thing before we get started, I was flipping through our future sponsor, HBO Max. So they have the just added section. You know, usually they have the feature, then they have, you know, what you've been recently watching so you can watch the next episode. Then they have just added. So I'm going through. Do you remember the Super Friends?
Why do I know the Super Friends? What is that?
It was basically the Justice League, but with a couple other...
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
But with a couple other added characters.
It's a superhero thing, yes.
Yeah, but so I'm watching it, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen this in years. It was released in 1973, and they actually had 10 seasons.
Holy
1973.
Crap.
So I'm listening to it for a little bit, and I'm like, I hear the announcer, and he's announcing all the characters, you know, Batman and Superman and, you know, Aquaman and all this stuff. And I'm like, is that Ted Knight as the narrator? And guess what? It was
Ted Knight.
He did the whole first season.
Wow.
It was so funny, though. I was watching it, and I'm just like, oh, my God, this is so bad. But you know what? It was so bad that it was good, because it was actually funny. Like, it was sort of a, you know, it wasn't serious, like Justice League and the Zack Snyder stuff. It was meant to be funny. And for kids, obviously.
Yes, for kids. That was the key.
And it was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. But anyhow, I was watching it, and I'm like, listen, I'm like, oh, my God, is that Ted Knight from Caddyshack and the Mary Tyler Moore Show and all those other ones? That was great.
He was a classically trained actor before he got into comedy.
Oh, he's got a great voice. So, okay, so what we watched.
Yeah, so go ahead. What do you watch in the last one?
Two weeks ago, you know, we've talked about it a couple times, but I don't think we ever really discussed the whole series and the finale. Mayor of Easttown.
No, I think it wasn't completely over. I think we were down to the season ender when we last talked. We loved it, right?
I liked it a lot. I wouldn't say I loved it. I liked her. I liked the performances. The story was a little, you know, it was the usual, like, murder mystery with all the little red herrings kind of crack you up,
yeah.
You know, and all the little things they do just to kind of get you going. You know, like, remember the one scene where the one mother who just got out of rehab was with her son and he was in the tub, you know, and the way they cut it, they made it look like the kid was going to drown in the tub.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she fell asleep, it's like, they did it twice.
This fake drama or fake drama. It's annoying.
That was some of the stuff was cheesy, but I thought the performances were great. And the one they killed off, that detective, the one who was in WandaVision, I can't think of his name.
Partner, yeah.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. And it's funny, I saw some comments about, you remember the scene where she was in the bar with him and he was drunk and he was hitting on her? You know, they're like, that was like the perfect drunk. They captured it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, he was really, really, that was just a great scene. And I liked all the quieter scenes, you know, with her and, you know, and Jean Smart, or her and her friend, the one who was the son, you know, who had the son who actually committed the murder.
So I think this show there's a lot to it. And it's hard not to start with Kate Winslet, right?
She was fantastic.
She's not a television actress, although the division between TV and movie is so...
Yeah, it's very blurred, especially when you get to HBO.
Correct. So you've got, I don't know, was this 8 episodes? It's almost like eight little movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
And 45-minute movies. She's just amazing. You know, she's just captivating on screen, and how she comes off as a... where's this outside of Philadelphia?
It's Delaware County outside of Philadelphia. Or as they affectionately call it, Delco.
She's amazing at the Delco thing. This is not surprising to me because this is the kind of actress she is. Right. She can do that kind of thing. Jean Smart, we talked about her before. She's at this amazing level of her career where she's taking on roles you wouldn't have expected, and she's knocking everyone out of the park. And playing Kate Winslet's mom, she's great. She's just great. You can see the two of them being in a show, just the two of them, about the two of them. Right?
That was great. Yeah, they were really, really good together. They had a really, really good chemistry.
The storytelling itself is good. It's a good crime drama. It has all of those little annoying nuances to it that, like you were describing. You have to sort of suspend the disbelief about how a rational person might act, or why does a person do this in this situation? There's a million little things that go on in all crime drama that you, as the viewer at home, have to kind of ignore. Why aren't they answering the phone? Why don't they call 911? Why don't they, you know, close the door? Whatever that is, there's all that kind of stuff in this. And you have to just kind of forget it. And there was a lot of it to me that was just annoying. But
well, and in their defense, I mean, the majority of us have never really been in that situation, so who knows what could happen?
Correct. Yes.
You know,
we're all kind of products of the TV era, TV world, where we just sort of, oh yeah, they're not going to answer the phone, even though they should, or they shouldn't answer the phone. You know, you have to just sort of kind of walk away from that and let the story kind of keep going and unfolding. And as a whole, it was a pretty good story. It falls into all of the stories that we've talked about before, where it's sort of convoluted. There's a million little left turns and right turns. You know it's going to be that way, and there's going to be a surprise in there somewhere or two. And that's what it was. But ultimately, for me, the success of it is because of the performances.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Even if it was a little dopier, I still would have probably liked it because of the performances. Yeah. After a while, you kind of forget that it's Kate Winslet.
Right. It took me a couple episodes.
Yeah, it took me too. I wanted to catch her. When is she going to have that accent? The right one.
Did you watch House of Cards?
Yeah.
Remember how Spacey's accent would fade in and out?
Yes.
Like, one minute he's a Southerner, and next minute he's Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I was expecting that with her, and she never did.
Never broke. And,
no, she was good. She was solid.
It was just really well done from that whole, the look of it, as well as, the, of course, the performances. And the story was the story. You're not there for the story. You're there for the, I think, in this case, for especially Kate Winslet.
And then there's the whole thing with her just basically dealing with the grief of, you know, her son's suicide and everything else that was involved.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's a psychodrama in that sense. Yeah. And, you know, there's emotional...
I mean, that was a big part of the story, right? Because that's why she couldn't connect with her daughter, connect with anyone, because she was still holding that grief.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they want to pursue her life in another season. I don't think it's a big spoiler, but she lives.
Right. So yeah, so it was a good show.
Yeah. So what else you got? What else you watch?
You finished Hacks?
Oh, we should talk Hacks, yeah. Because that leads perfectly from Mare. Because that's Jean Smart's...
Again, Jean Smart. What's the other girl's name? I know she... The woman's name, I should say. I know she is...
The daughter of Lorraine Newman.
Right, from the first edition of Saturday Night Live.
Yes. It's funny you have to say that.
Well, you know, there's so many casts. She was one of the original members, right?
She was. She was her and Gilda Radner were the only two women. And oh, I'm sorry. And
Jane Curtin.
Jane Curtin, thank you.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Hannah Einbinder is her name.
Yeah, she's actually very good. And she's actually a real stand-up comic, apparently.
She is.
So she got her start doing that.
This one is a little different, I think, than, let's say, Mare.
Oh, it's much different from Mare.
In the sense that it's not only about the performances, it's about the story. It's more almost like a sitcom. A dramedy, maybe, is a better way to look at it.
Right.
Looking at a woman, our star, Jean Smart, who's been in the industry for a long time. She's seen it all. She's made a lot of money. But how did she get there? And where is she going to go now in her golden years? And then you've got this kid who's wants to be at the top one day, who's struggling to pay bills and whatever, and wants to be kind of Instagrammable and all the things that the younger generation is. That creates a clash of these two, like you said, generations. And how do they work together? And how do they learn from each other?
Right, that's what I was going to say. That's what's interesting about the show, that they actually did. I mean, they kind of met somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
You know? Because, you know, the young girl, what is it, Ava? Is that her character?
Ava, yes.
Right? So Ava thinks that, you know, what's her name, is just some rich old movie star or comedian, whatever it is.
Yep.
And is kind of out of touch, but, you know, doesn't know the whole backstory of everything that she's been through and all this stuff to get to the top. And it was kind of neat because they had her, what was the one thing they did in the beginning? She had her start to archive all her stuff.
Yeah.
All her old material and all her old shows.
And she learns about her.
Yeah. She learns a little bit about her and the other one kind of, and the younger one teaches, you know, Jean Smart a little bit about, you know, taking responsibility for things and not just letting things go and kind of calling people out on their crap.
in these kinds of things. The secondary folks are there for comic relief, and they're all very good. The cast is six, seven people deep, and they fill out the whole picture. But it's really about Ava and Jean Smart's character, and just and back to Jean Smart. It's just amazing where she's her last what 3-4 years of has gone with the roles on Netflix, HBO. She's just been just knocking it out of the park.
She's been fantastic. She's been really, really good. I got to go back and watch her in Watchmen because I kind of dropped off before she joined.
She was great in that.
But also going back to Hacksaw, you were saying about the secondary characters. I like the Marcus storyline too. That was pretty interesting.
Sure.
And his, whoever was his mom and then the other woman.
She's really funny.
I want a show with just them.
They are funny.
Oh, my God. They were fantastic. When they were talking about like the kegger they had at the 55 plus.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I want to see this scene. It was so good.
I like shows about stand-up comedians. You get a little piece of what a comedian's life is like. Mm-hmm. Here's one of an older comedian.
Right.
You know, we're used to seeing people in their 30s and 40s. This is a little different. This is a Vegas comedian. She's punched her ticket. She's figured out how to make money in the big room at the big hotel. And, oh, by the way, she's also selling stuff on QVC and opening up pizza places. And her name's on all kinds of stuff. She's at a different level.
The inspiration for the show apparently was Joan Rivers.
That makes sense. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't think of it till someone mentioned it. Actually, my wife was watching
the
first couple episodes, and she's like, "Was this Joan Rivers?"
Well, there's points in the storyline in her backstory that you know she was going to be the host of a show, and just like Joan Rivers was going to host, she was going to take over. She was going to, you know, Johnny Carson treated her badly, and all of a sudden she was gone off the Tonight Show. This kind of thing is not unheard of. And I think it's an interesting storyline to follow. There's lots of historical references that Hacks can pull out of women not being treated well on their way up in Hollywood, women comedians. So very good. Very good.
That's a great show.
And really funny.
Oh, it was great. And what's funny is, you know, after the setup, the second half of the show gets a lot heavier.
Yeah.
It gets a lot heavier.
You figure the buildup is slow, and then when they really get into where these people have come from, it's much, much more heavy.
Right. Yeah, and that was good. I mean, all in a very good way.
Yeah.
You know, and the best scenes were just the two of them together.
Yeah.
You know, just getting to know each other and kind of finding some common ground and, you know, kind of joining forces to a degree. It was really well done.
Interesting learning about their families. That aren't always on camera. And they, of course, become a little bit of a family. You know who's also really good in there is Jean Smart's daughter.
She's good.
Olsen? Caitlin Olsen? What's her name?
Yeah, she was good. She was very, very good. It's a great show. I'm looking forward to season two. And now a couple things I've read, though. They're like, you know, they had the little cliffhanger at the end, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, you know, about the email and all that kind of stuff. But they're like, you know, they might just kick it to the curb, you know, and just let it go, as opposed to making it a big part of the story.
I don't know. You know, I think the more interesting thing is how Jean Smart takes her career forward as a different kind of comedian than she once was with Ava's help.
Yep.
That to me is really interesting because the amount of material that they can bring to an audience is explosive.
It's endless. Right. You got 40, 50 years worth of material that she can go through just telling stories. And it was nice that they didn't, you know, it was interesting that they never really showed the act. They talked about the act, but you never really saw it. You know, you saw bits and pieces, but not a lot of it.
Another show I was thinking of that looked at a female comedian's career is Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, right. And this is a woman who would have been a predecessor to Jean Smart's character because she's a comedian in the 50s. When there was no... She would have been well, maybe similar, I guess. Just maybe a little bit younger than...
Born a little more.
Yep, go ahead. Joan Rivers was that comedian, and Phyllis Diller, Toadie Fields, those people that started off in the 50s, and women on stage was, like, unheard of, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you were playing really small little dives and small clubs and strip joints and, you know, bad bars, and then you got lucky. You might get lucky to play some, you know, lounge in Vegas, and right. then the number of people that got, you know, to the next level, you can count them on one hand almost from back in that era. Yeah. And Joan Rivers and Phyllis Diller and the people we just mentioned are those people. The two are interesting because Mrs. Maisel is at the very beginning of that era. And then here you got Jean Smart, who's on the far end. She's gone through all that, and now she's at the other end where she's, okay, I'm a woman in my late 60s, and my career's kind of, you know, here.
Yeah.
Plateaued. I made a lot of money. Now what? Now what? So,
yeah.
Good character.
It was good.
Study. Yeah.
It was great. It was really, really good. And I also liked, what's his name? It's Chris McDonald.
Chris McDonald. He's owner. Always good.
He was great. He was really, really good. He was, yeah. He was good in the character.
You I know, hope his nice. Character doesn't go away. I hope it sticks around.
I don't think it will. And they had really, I thought him and Jean Smart had pretty good great. Chemistry too.
Yeah.
When they weren't like at each other's throats.
Right.
And they were just having fun together.
Yeah.
You know, because you could just tell that there was, you know, there was, at least with the storyline, that there was obviously some affection between the two. But sometimes business gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do?
Yeah.
The guys were, like you said, I'm running a casino and I have shareholders. What do you want me to do?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, you're my buddy. I love you. But, you know, I got bills to pay. So, yeah, it was a great show. And I can't wait for season two. I'm really looking forward to it. Oh, one last thing. Apparently, they shot this whole thing during lockdown.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the whole show was shot during lockdown. Yeah. So I guess they probably, you know, pretty much put them all in a bubble in Las Vegas and just, you know, did their thing.
You know, we should be put in a bubble.
We should be put in a bubble. Yeah, you're damn right we should.
Yeah, like
thrown into the bottom of the ocean?
Correct. Exactly. Stainless
like a diving
steel.
Bell?
Yeah.
Hermetically sealed?
I believe that our better house.
How about lead?
Lead would be good.
Lead-lined? A little lead-lined bubble?
Yes. Just in case we land near a, you know, the nuclear fallout from a reactor.
The engineer would probably have some kind of coating so that it doesn't rust through and we have any chance of escaping ever, right?
Yeah.
So it'd probably be like, you know, titanium or stainless. Yeah, stainless is probably good.
Stainless, yeah.
Well, what you could do is stainless steel on the outside, lead on the inside.
Oh, perfect.
So you have the corrosion resistance, but you have the weight.
It's all about layers.
It is. It's like an onion.
Exactly, yes.
We're like onions. We smell. And we make your eyes tear.
I am cracking open the Hepburn's Choice 21-year-old from 1996,
a thrusk.
From the Diageo folks.
A thrusk. Oh, is that all you got?
52.6%.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
21-year-old?
21. Sorry.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
So what else you got on the watch list? Anything else? I got a few.
I watched a few things in their entirety, but then there's a few things that I've just kind of like been like popping in and didn't really get to finish, and I got to go back to. So I'll go with the watch. I finished season one of For All Mankind on Apple Plus.
I want to watch that.
It was good. I liked it.
The space thing,
really,
right?
Yeah, I really, really liked it. It was
the alternate universe.
Well, alternative history, right?
Yeah.
So, like, one little thing changes, and then they kind of see how it takes the course of history and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was good. It was really well done. The cast was great. The attention to detail. Joel Kinnaman is probably the big one.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
He's the big star in the show. Remember season two of The Wire? Remember the guy at the docks, Sabatka?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Bauer, he's in it. He kind of plays like, I guess, sort of, he basically gets the final call on who goes into space and who doesn't. So I don't know if he's like the program director for NASA or the Apollo program or whatever they have. Who else is in it? I'm trying to think who else. There's a bunch of other stars that I just can't remember their names. But it was really well done. I like to call it Mad Men in Space. Because it has that 60s vibe.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got the housewives, and you've got the men working, and then you've got the women breaking into the thing, and all this kind of stuff. So, and it was interesting because they also have it that, you know, the Russians had the first woman in space. So of course, you know, and then like Nixon's the president. So Nixon, of course, has a whole thing where you got to build like a, they wanted to build a whole station on the moon, and they were militarizing because the Russians were doing it. There's a lot. There's really a lot. It's really well done. And it's interesting, too, because it's not just about the space race. It's also, you know, women getting into this and kind of coming to the forefront. And then there's the whole thing about, you know, one of the men on NASA's board is gay, and he has to keep it kind of quiet. And one of the women astronauts is a lesbian, and they got to keep that quiet. And, you know, there's still always that thing going on under the surface. So, and how they work around all these issues.
It's interesting that those kinds of topics are written today about period pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And the writers somehow have to figure out what was the mindset of people back then. How did people act in those situations? We know how it is now because it's now.
Yeah.
But how did it how did NASA or how did an office deal with that 50, 60 years ago? Got to get into the minds of folks or talk to people and research, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think it's that hard to find out, frankly.
Probably not.
Because it hasn't changed all that recently. And it's still not completely changed.
No, it's still not today. It's still different.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Totally. I was having this discussion with a friend yesterday about that whole thing. But yeah, it was good. It was a good show. I started watching season 2. I only got one episode in, and then other things kind of came to the front. You know, and it was, you know, the summer hit. So things happen, and I just didn't get a chance to watch it. And the thing is, they're hour-long episodes, so they're a little bit more of a time commitment. So let's see. So For All Mankind, I finished season 1. It was very good. I think you'd enjoy it. I think your wife would enjoy it as well. When we went away over Memorial Day, I watched Tenet. Have you seen that?
No, I know.
The Christopher Nolan movie?
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know. It just never really interested me. And
I have no idea what happened. It's so confusing.
When I started hearing about that, I've got enough complicated TV in my life. I don't need a complicated movie in my life either.
I will say this, though. Visually, it was fantastic. And what I would really like to have seen it in the theater just for like the
visual.
Well, the visual was great, but the sound design, the way they did the sound of this movie was just really interesting. And I was watching it on a crappy TV in the woods in Virginia. So I didn't even have like optimal sound. But it was just really interesting because you had this whole thing where not so much that it was time travel, but there was a way to kind of like run things in reverse. Like you can go back to a moment in time, you know, and then you would have everything happen. Like, you know, it was weird. I can't even explain it. I really have no idea how to explain it. It was interesting. I read an article in GQ that explained the whole thing kind of like, it was almost like it was color coded. So you would know what was happening at any given moment. You know,
if you need a map, it makes it to the
It was just, it was crazy. But like there was a time travel element, but when you go back, it's running backwards. It was weird. But the thing was, that was all in real time. So, you know, you kind of had to sync things up properly. It was weird. I don't know. It was an interesting movie, though. It was a really interesting movie. I almost want to see it again. I almost want to see it again, but I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it. It's 2.5 hours. I was like, oh my God. That's 5 episodes of Hacks.
There you go.
I'd rather watch 5 episodes of Hacks.
There you go.
And I'm actually going to rewatch it because I really enjoyed it that much.
It was good.
And I want to go back and, you know, catch things I didn't see. Let me see. We watched that. I watched Tenet. Watched this horror movie called The Conjuring.
What's that?
It's like these two people that kind of basically are doing exorcisms. So if you're having some kind of supernatural experience in your house, you call these folks. Almost like Ghostbusters, if you will.
Uh-huh.
But it's more of like an exorcism. Vera Farmiga's in it. She was in The Departed. She was a psychiatrist in The Departed.
Yeah.
I can't think of the actor's name, who was her husband. So they play like a husband and wife. Apparently, supposedly, it's based on a true story. At least that's what they said. I didn't look it up. I didn't fact check.
True story.
So I have no idea. Lily Taylor is in the first one. They've done about 3 of these movies. The guy from Office Space, and he was also in Band of Brothers. John Livingston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Livingston.
Yeah. He's good. I like him. So it was weird. It was kind of lame. I mean, it was a horror movie. It was like The Exorcist, kind of nouveau Exorcist. But The Exorcist was a hell of a lot more creepy.
The Exorcist is
legit scary.
That was legit scary, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. I got through it. It was an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. So it was just fun Saturday night. You know, a little harem scarum. It was kind of interesting. let's see what else we got. Oh, well, I started watching this. Have you seen this show, Betty?
But you mentioned it to me, and I looked at the trailers yesterday, and I don't completely understand what's going on, but I'm going to probably watch it.
It's really, really neat. I was just kind of like, I heard about it a few things on a couple message boards, and I've seen some articles about it.
So
I was curious.
You watched the whole series?
I watched season one. They're in season two right now. So I'm up to episode three on season two of Betty. It was based on a movie which had the same characters. There was a movie called Skate Kitchen, and it was about this group of girls who were trying to, they like to skateboard. But of course, skateboarding is still pretty much male dominated. So they were just trying to like get into the skate park and do all this kind of stuff. And these girls kind of bond, and it's all about them just kind of coming into their own and getting over all their stuff and learn how to skate, skating
and it's in New York City.
Growing up. It's in New York City. Yeah. It all takes place in New York. I don't know if it's in Brooklyn or if it's up in like parts of Manhattan. They have scenes shot all over the place, but it was really good. The cast is great. They really are good. And none of them were professional actors. I think they were skaters first. And I can't remember the name of the woman who directed it. I could probably look her up and see what her name is. But she directed this Skate Kitchen, which I thought was a documentary, but it wasn't. But it was also all these non-actors. And they're all doing their own skateboarding, all the girls in the show.
That's cool.
And they're all probably like, 19 to maybe mid-20s. They're all pretty young.
And nobody
at all. No, like famous actors or anything like that I could think of. I think everyone pretty much is an amateur. But it's really, really pretty to watch. And there's some scenes that are just positively hypnotic, because they've got like some kind of like, techno music or rap or whatever it is. And the way it's shot with the lighting and just the cameras of them skating. Oh, and Tony Hawk does a cameo.
There you go. He's the king.
Yeah. So it's really, really good. I really like it. And it's kind of funny. I mean, the girls are like, they're a little bit stoners and, two or three of the girls are lesbians, and the one girl's kind of like sort of in charge, kind of an organizer. They're trying to organize things. They're trying to get more girls involved, and things kind of grow, and it's about their friendships and dating and, finding their sexuality and all this kind of stuff. It's a really, really neat show, and it's really funny.
It sounds like a coming-of-age
right. It is a coming-of-age show, and there's one character. I can't remember the name of the character. She's just bizarre. She sounds like she's stoned all the time. But she kind of reminds me. Remember, like the Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah,
she was kind of like Jay, like just that kind of way of talking. And now in the second season, she's like, she's a lesbian, and I don't know if she's a lesbian in real life or just in the show. But now her mission is to teach boys to be men. So she's giving them all these lessons. It's just hysterical. It is just so funny. There's one scene where she gets like, where she's like, somebody gave her like a whole bag of mushrooms and she's tripping the whole time. It was insane. It's fun. It's a good show. It's really, really good. I like it. I like the characters. I feel for them.
And that's on HBO Max?
Yeah, it's on HBO. It's on like, I think it comes on like Friday nights at 11, but all the episodes are on Max. So okay. You can catch up there. And it's short. They're all half hour episodes.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's good. It takes about an episode or two to get the lingo and get the feel for what's going on. But it moves pretty fast, and I got sucked in. I really enjoyed it. So I just watched the third episode this morning, and it was good.
Neat. I will do that
Yeah. And Skate Kitchen was pretty good, too. Skate Kitchen you could find on Hulu. I think it's like an hour and 40 minutes, and that's what the movie... The show's based on the movie. The show's based on the movie. The movie's a little more serious. It's not as funny as the show. They kind of converted it a little bit, added some comedic elements to it. But it's very good. It's very, very good. How about you? I've been doing all the talking here.
Oh, boy. Let's see.
What have you been up to? Have you been to Sweden? Where's your country of choice now? Are you in Japan? Have you moved to China? Where are you at?
Slow down there, Mr. World Traveler. Well, let's see.
I'm spinning the globe, man.
You
tell me when to stop.
You are like the puppet master you are.
Uh-huh. That's me.
So my daughter and I just finished Mythic Quest Season 2. And we talked about it before. It's
yes.
Such a good comedy. And it is so funny. I mean, first and foremost, it's funny. I've never heard my daughter laugh this hard during a show. And it is really well written. It's very, very funny. It's a large cast of characters and
right.
lots of subplots and stories.
Rob McElhenney and what's his name?
Charlotte and Nick Dow is they're the two leads. They're uh-huh. the ones that run this gaming company.
Who the Australian programmer?
The Australian programmer, right?
She's hysterical.
And now, in season two, they are actually the co-creative directors of this company. So they're trying to come up with you know, the next best version for their Mythic Quest game. A couple things about the season. I don't want to, you know, give anything away, but two things. One, F. Murray Abraham.
Right. That's the name I couldn't think of.
And his story, you know, he's in probably, what is it, his 70s, I would guess.
Yeah,
at least. In real life. He is a writer for the show, for the game. But he's the, he's like the sage. You know, he's been around the block. That they actually have two complete episodes about his backstory. It almost has nothing to do with the rest of the show. But there are two shows that are two episodes just about his backstory in season two. And you find out that he came to L.A. as wanted to be a writer, a science fiction writer. And there was him and another writer and a woman writer. They were like a little team. And they were going to, you know, set the world on fire and become the next, you know, group of writers to turn everything around in the 60s and 70s. And he sort of had a premonition about that stories could be turning into this thing called video games, which was interesting. The other part of it, and so F. Murray Abraham is just amazing. He's you know, we know he's a great actor to begin with, but here he is in a comedy, and he's very funny, and he, of course, he's got the acting chops to do that, the heavy stuff too. They have an interesting. You know, the world is different with television, right? And streaming services. You can do so much more. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the first season, the last episode was an episode about the company being on lockdown. Mm-hmm. And it was all done on Zoom. So it was like us talking now. And that was pretty creative. I actually haven't seen much of that kind of stuff going on in other TV, but they actually did a show about being on Zoom. And trying to run a business. Then they had an episode about kind of coming back and what that all meant. So that was interesting too. So this season,
how many episodes per season? Is it like 10 and 10 or
7 or 8 or something like that? Not okay. So because they spent two episodes on F. Murray Abraham's character, and he had some history of you know, he had a writing history in the show. They released on Apple Books, whatever Apple's book.
Apple Books, I guess.
Is it books? They've written this book, you know, that he allegedly wrote. I haven't read it yet, but I downloaded it. It's 28 pages long, and it's that character's book. That's the kind of stuff you do now. You can do. You know, I suppose you could go in the old days and print a book, but
right.
But here you downloaded the guys, and it's more backstory. It's kind of cool.
That's awesome. I've watched the first four episodes. I got to go back and keep. It's like other things pop up, and I just forget about it. Because I think, as I'm not used to having Apple Plus, like on the big TV, so I don't go to that app.
I don't go to it either. And luckily, one of my iPads sends me notifications.
Hey, I'm pouring another one.
What are you pouring?
I got a barrel strength bullet bourbon.
Ooh.
Ready? Wait for it. 58.3.
Ooh, that's very nice.
Yes. This is batch number 6.
I'm going to get close to you. Oh, no, I'm going to beat you.
Hey, now.
58.4.
Oh.
The Athrusk Trader Joe's 19-year-old single cask, if you're keeping track at home. If you're scoring at home, it's cask 11744. 58.4%. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple other ones that I got through. And I think I'm going to leave one because I don't think you've won. Well, I could just mention it.
Go ahead.
On Netflix, Lupin, the second.
I watched the first half. I haven't watched the second one yet. It's been kind of like on the back burner for a little bit.
So 5 episodes, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe it's 6.
And they're short episodes, right? Because I guess it was on French TV, like 45 minutes.
That. They're more than a half hour, though. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but I'm saying they're not like a full hour.
No.
They're a little
but
shorter.
Nothing is anymore.
No, I don't know. Some shows are like an hour and 15 minutes. It's like, oh, come on, man, you're killing me.
I got things to do. I get more TV to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I want to watch 2 episodes tonight, not just one.
I can tell you that Lupin season 2, or I don't know if that's season 2 or second half of season 1.
Yeah, part
2.
Let's call it
part 2. Part 2. It's really good. And it's just, It's good. It's fun. It's fun, and it.
Do I need to go back and maybe catch up again, or is it easy to fall back in?
It starts right off from where it was.
Okay.
Pretty much, and there's probably a preview. I think in the very beginning, you don't have
okay,
to.
Okay, so they'll give you the. Okay,
it's the same. It's the ongoing story from season,
right. It's the second half, right? Because the son went missing. Well,
yes.
The son got kidnapped.
Yeah, it's all easily could have just all been flowed together. I don't know why they didn't do that, but that guy's great.
He's awesome. Was it Omar Sy?
Omar Sy, he is so good. And
yeah, he is.
The French thing, I never would have thought. French is not one of my favorite languages. That I could watch this in French. I don't know. Never been one of my favorites. And it's a little hypnotizing.
Well, it's got to be the right show. It's like anything. Like the boys have been watching, they've been watching a ton of anime. They are like, they're on like anime overload.
That's cool.
I just haven't had time to sit down and watch it. You really have to pay attention to what's going on. You know, so I just hear the voices, you know, and it's just interesting. I'm like, man, he sounds angry. Yeah. But
yes.
it looks neat.
I've often wondered watching all these foreign shows, is the TV language the same as the everyday language of these countries? I don't know.
Well, it's amped up because it's a drama, right? If you were a foreigner and all you watched was like American action movies, you would think there was a car chase and an explosion and a killing
well,
every day. Oh,
I
wait.
Don't mean content. I just mean
yeah.
the way people speak.
Well, yeah, I know. But you would also think, you know, if all you ever saw were like Samuel L. Jackson movies.
Yes.
Everybody's MFing this and MFing that all the time. You know?
That's true.
Although that's kind of true, too. But that's another story.
So I got through two shows that probably a little under the radar. Both Netflix. And yes, they're both not from this country. One is called, it's from Australia, it's called Wanted. And it stars Rebecca Gibney, and who I think created it, and Geraldine Hakewell. Quick and easy, down and dirty version of the premise is Lola, Rebecca's character, is a middle-aged woman working as a checker at a grocery store. And Chelsea is a 30-something young accountant for a big corporation. They go to the same bus stop every day, and apparently for like a year and a half. They don't know each other. They never interacted, but they just happen to go to the same bus stop. So in the first episode, they go to this bus stop after work, waiting to get the bus to go home, and a big black car flies towards the bus stop with two drivers and who are bad guys. Craziness ensues, and Lola shoots one of the guys, and the other, the driver, takes both of them and puts them in the trunk of the car and speeds off. And there's this dead guy on the ground. So they become wanted after a little bit of time.
Okay.
And they're in this the trunk, and they realize, oh, we're in a trunk with a big bag of money. And so it's not a comedy, but it's a buddy kind of story, because you've got this middle-aged woman who's been around. Turns out she's got a kind of a darker past. And you got this younger girl who her mother passed away at an early age, doesn't have a mother figure, and they sort of bond over time, and they are constantly on the run for stuff, and they're okay. being chased all over the place. Man. And they keep getting, you know, in death-defying circumstances, and it's one of those things that, you know, again, like Mayor of Easttown, you think, why don't they just turn left there? Why do they turn right? Why
right.
don't they, you know, there's a lot of dumb stuff that happens. And the cell phone thing just right. drives me nuts, because everyone loses their phone, ditches their phone, yet they get another phone, and they know the phone number of all these people who they've just met in the last, you know, 20 minutes. But it's a really interesting, maybe not great, interesting story of two women on the run. It's not exactly Thelma and Louise.
Well, that's the first thing that popped into my head when you mentioned
yeah, it. Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of that. Lola is trying to avenge stuff. She's got a son that she needs to protect, who's got his own issues. And Chelsea's been, you know, sort of pushed aside by her dad for years, and after her mom died, and she's never been really allowed to have her voice heard. And here Lola's sort of allowing it at times, and she's mm-hmm. out on this adventure. She's this big adventure across, you know, trying to escape cops and federal agents and, you know, in three different countries. So it's good. And it's really, really pretty. When they're driving through Australia, you're seeing all parts of the countries that you know, it's not just uh-huh. in the city stuff. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's pretty fun.
And that was on Netflix.
Netflix. Wanted, it's called. The second one I finished, one season, it just came to Netflix. It's called Katla, K-A-T-L-A. It is from Iceland, and it is weird. It is about a town, a little village, that has been living alongside a volcano, Katla, that has been erupting for a year. And lots of weird stuff has been happening, and the few remaining people there are just people that don't want to leave, scientists doing research on the volcano. But weird stuff happens. They find these people to show up, and they've been buried under the volcanic rock forever, and they come back alive. But they're clones of people that are already alive. So this one character who's one of the leads, her sister, who died a year before, was missing, appears out of nowhere. And undercover, you know, covered in, you know, soot and all. And she's alive. Oh my God, she's alive. It's very strange. It's a very strange. And a part of it is Icelandic folklore stories that are kind of the basis for this. So, and as we've talked about before in other countries, they use all the same actors. So this show has actors from Caliphate, Beartown, Trapped. Those are Swedish and Icelandic shows on Netflix, Amazon Prime. They all are in these shows. It's really weird seeing all these people again. And it actually runs three languages. It's in Icelandic, Swedish, and English. So interesting and a very, like we've seen with some of those Scandinavian countries, and it's seeing how they can film this kind of stuff on the side of a volcano is really kind of interesting amongst crazy weather and such. So those are the ones I've watched. That's my catch up for our first batch.
You know what I went back and started watching a little bit? Because after, I think you recommended it, and I know Greg Swartz of Water of Life, he recommended it. Patriot?
Oh, that was so good.
The guy who's the lead, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's also in For All Mankind.
Oh, really?
He's one of the leads in For All Mankind, and I liked him in For All Mankind, so I'm like, all right, let me go back and watch Patriot. Because the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, eh. But now I watched the first two episodes, and it is pretty
CIA operative who doesn't really want to be an agent anymore, right? But he plays songs like folk songs.
But he's basically telling everything he did, right? he's kind of retelling it as a folk song, and he's doing these like open mic nights. Like the one episode he's in, like he's in Luxembourg, I think, in the first episode, and he goes there and he just basically retells the whole story. It's a pretty crazy show. It's pretty well done. But yeah, I watched the first two episodes. I kind of want to go back. And I want to keep going with it. It's just, you know, again, other stuff has come to the fore. So, you know, I start getting like an easy watch like Betty. And I'm like, all right, I'm sucked into Betty. So I'll watch this for three nights and get that over
with. This is so freaking funny. Oh my gosh. I'm looking up the cast. So there's a detective in this.
Oh, the from Luxembourg.
It's her name is Aliette Oppheim.
And what is she in? Which show is she that you're watching?
She was in this show that I just watched, this Katla. She plays this two characters because one of the characters who comes back to life, and but she who's a younger version of this other character. She's also the lead investigator trying to stop a bombing in Sweden in Caliphate, and she's the mom in Beartown in this hockey, you know, Swedish hockey thing. She is really good. She's a really good actress. I did not realize she was in that.
Yeah, but I want to go back and finish it. I do want to go back to it. It's just show. Again,
very funny.
Other things have come around, so you know.
So, anything you're in the middle of watching at the moment?
Well, like I said, Betty season two right now. I got to go back to For All Mankind, Patriot, and I got to go back to Mythic Quest.
Yep.
So those are the four things that I've kind of got to go back to. Have you watched any of Loki?
I'm sort of not into the MCU right now. I haven't been for a while, so I don't feel like I can jump in and Was it Mike was saying that you need to watch the Loki stuff to get a lot of the Easter eggs to get to the new Spider-Man? Is that right?
Just all the multiverses between Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
It's just too complicated for me.
It's getting too much. I tried to watch it tonight with my youngest. You know, we're behind on two episodes. I watched the first episode and I didn't love it. I like them. I like Owen Wilson. I like him a lot. And his like banter, he's just got a funny way of talking. I just love his delivery, and I like, you know, who's Loki?
You're looking at the wrong guy. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, the actor who plays Loki, who I really like, I like them both. I think they're great, and I like the Loki character. But the show, it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too tired when I watch it. I just keep falling asleep. So I don't know. Is it worth the effort? I mean, there's so much to watch.
Yeah.
Do I just give up? I think I like the movies better. WandaVision I thought was kind of disappointing. Falcon and Winter Soldier was a little disappointing. There were neat aspects to it, but overall, I thought it was just getting too convoluted. You know, they start connecting all this stuff and making all these crazy connections. I'm like, oh, look, I don't have time for this. Just give me a good story I could follow. You know? We're getting old, man. We got too many things going on.
You said WandaVision, it reminded me of something. So, talking about things that we're watching, I watched one episode of a show that's on AMC, I believe, and it stars Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek. So it's called Kevin Can F Himself. And
I like the title.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be this, you know, comedy, right? It's a dark look at sitcom women. So half of it is this very generic, very two-camera, laugh track sitcom. She's married to this working-class guy who's a sells cable TV systems or something, or he's an installer. And his brother lives next door. They're all Patriots fans. And all they care about is drinking. So that's what the comedy stuff is. And it's all brightly lit and the laugh track's going on. And then our lead, Allison, she'll walk into a different room and all of a sudden it's a whole different show. And it's a dark view of what she's experiencing. She doesn't like her life. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like being married to this guy. She wants to buy a house in a nice suburb, not live in these row houses where everyone just sits out on the porch every night and complains about their jobs and money. So she wants to move elsewhere. And so she's trying to figure out how to do that. But the lighting's different. She's usually by herself. She's just trying to kind of deal with the reality of her life, not the sitcom part of her life. Which is really an interesting take. And someone said that WandaVision is a little bit like that. There's like this critical look about how the sitcom family is. So episode one is the premise of this is set up. And she wants to get out. She wants to move on. Some guy that she used to know back in high school has come back to the neighborhood. And he opens up a coffee house. Doesn't really even know why he's back, but he's come back. He's married, though. She must have had a thing for him. When she walks in there into this coffee house and she sees him behind the counter, it's the dark side. You know, it's that not the happy light laugh track life of hers. And then she goes back into, you know, home for the big party. And the boss is coming to dinner that night. And you got to keep the boss away from all the real party goers. It's ha 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 ha. And oh no, the boss can't let him get into the kitchen because that's where all the fun's going on. It's like two shows. It's really strange. I'm not sure if I want to stick with it or not, but the premise is interesting to me.
How many episodes are
released? I don't know. You can watch it on demand, I know, in Spectrum. And I think most of them are... I think I saw a preview. So maybe there's... I think I saw 8 episodes, maybe. You know, it's more like a summer replacement show. It's not like a, you know... So, but interesting turn for Annie Murphy, because coming from this real slapstick... show of Schitt's Creek. This is much darker. Much, much darker. So that's one thing that I started. I'm not sure how far I'll go with it. I started watching a show on Netflix called Sweet Tooth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How was that?
So I watched a couple episodes.
I know nothing about it.
It's got to be based on a book. So the first thing, as this thing starts, is there's a narrator. And I don't know why, but I thought, is this Harrison Ford? It's really setting up the premise of this whole thing. There was some sort of viral disease that has, you know, killed off all these people. But some people didn't die, and some people, and there are no more kids anymore, but there's all these other beings that lived, and blah, blah, blah. But who's this voice? And I had to look it up because I wasn't sure. The narrator is James Brolin. I was like, what the heck? James Brolin? I don't know that I would have known that without looking it up, but he kind of sounded like Harrison Ford. Anyway, this story of this little kid named Gus. His mom dies, and the dad takes him off because he's special. And you've probably seen the ads. So the boy has antlers, and he's different, and he's not a human, of course, completely. And so dad takes him off. I think it's in Yellowstone. And just kind of basically has his life with him away from society because he would be trapped or killed, this little kid. And then the little boy has to get away. And there's another guy out on the move who finds him and is helping him on his journey. Well, for the getting too far into this. But I don't know if it's based on a book. It seems like a fantasy series or something. Yeah. Warner Brothers.
I have no idea.
It's actually not bad. The little kid is very good. And this guy who takes him under his wing is very good as well. So we'll see. I'm sure it's going to be a series of adventures as they try to get from point A to point B and avoiding the people that are trying to, you know, hunt him down, etc., etc. So that was one thing, Sweet Tooth. And then I started something very weird because my Netflix feed, because of all the foreign stuff I watch, I get a lot of wacky stuff. So I watched one episode of this show. And if you got kids at home, they probably should turn off the podcast right now. It's called The Naked Director. And it's a Japanese show. And it's about the 1990s adult entertainment industry. And the premise is so interesting. This guy, who's the lead character, is a encyclopedia salesman, English versions of encyclopedias, and for this company, and he's horrible at it. He cannot sell an encyclopedia door to door to anybody. And his boss tells him, "You gotta sell books or you're gone." And this guy's got a wife and two kids, and his mom lives with him in a small place, and he's gotta, you know, keep food on the table. And so the boss of this place puts him under the wing of it, like the great salesperson at this company. And he puts him out there and teaches him the ropes, and he becomes a really good encyclopedia salesman. And the company goes under. Gone. So he's out of a job. Doesn't know what to do. And he comes home after this horrible thing happens at work, and he finds out that his wife is having an affair, she says, because he couldn't please her. So he's all despondent, goes to a bar, starts drinking. Jack Daniels, prominently displayed. By the way, I actually saw some bottles of Lafroiga behind him on this at this bar. So there must have been some, you know, Suntory stuff.
Speaking of whiskey, in Hacks, there was a bottle of Lagavulin on the back bar.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, and there was a bottle of Hendrix and a few other things. But anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So he's despondent, he goes to this bar, he's getting drunk. Big fight breaks out around him, nothing with that he's doing. And this one guy kind of falls in his lap and has a cassette, pulls a cassette out of his bag. And this audio cassette is sound of a couple, one who are having an affair with each other.
And then I guess it happens to be his wife.
No. And this, our lead character, he's like, what's this all about? Why do you have this? And he says, I sell these things. This other guy says, I sell them. I record them and I sell them. People want to hear other people having intimacy.
Do they?
Well, in 1990, apparently, they did in Japan. And so the guy's like, what are you talking about? So he takes them, the two of them go off, and they go to this hotel, and this guy's got a room, like a storage room, that he's rigged up with a microphone in the wall, or so that he can hear and see couples coming in who are not married, and he records them. So he's got this little box of these tapes.
Oh, wait. So they don't know they're being recorded?
And so he's got a box of these tapes. And the guys, our lead character's going, maybe there's a business here. So the very next day, or the next scene, they go to an adult entertainment store. And the guy behind the counter, older guy, buys all the cassettes this guy has. Because our encyclopedia salesman is now a great salesperson. And he sells them for like 30,000 yen. All of them. All 60 cassettes or something that the guy has. So the end of the episode is he doesn't know anything about pornography at the time. And he's buying... and you kind of hear these little snippets of what pornography was about them. They're in the same store, and there's racks of magazines, right? And they're all in cellophane. Because our lead guy goes, why are they all in cellophane? What's the deal with that? And he said, well, if it's in cellophane, that must be something special. Some big secret's inside. Mm-hmm. It's covered up. So that people think of that. So our encyclopedia salesman, the end of the first episode, says, we're going to sell sexual desires to people. I think it's not just about sex. It's about intimacy and pornography in the 1990s in Japan. But it's also about how this guy becomes a salesperson and trying to understand what the market is. He figured out the market for people in Japan who needed English, or thought they needed English language encyclopedias. Now he's trying to figure out the market for adult entertainment in the 1990s.
So an alternate title could be Birth of a Salesman?
Correct, yes.
Did you have encyclopedias growing up?
We did, yes.
Would you have World Book?
We had World Book, yes, we had World Book.
We had the gold standard. We had the Encyclopedia Britannica.
You were rich. You guys had all that money.
Were we? My parents were, I don't know, they got sucked into buying these things.
But isn't it weird that was an industry that people would knock on your door?
And I would use them to write papers.
Sure. You didn't have to go to the library. That was it. I remember teachers saying, you cannot only use the encyclopedia in your house. You need something else for your bibliography. So you need to go research. That means you had to go to the library. Because there's no internet, damn it. Couldn't use Wikipedia.
Right. Dewey Decimal System, baby.
That's right.
Card catalogs.
Oh, that's right. Flipping through those damn cards. That's right.
It was like a mystery. It was like a hunt.
Yeah. So, thank God.
All right. So what's it called? The Naked Director?
The Naked Director on Netflix. I'm gonna hang with it and see where this goes with this guy. And I think I'm going to probably...
You've only seen one episode?
Just saw one episode. And I'm two episodes into The Sweet Tooth. And I think I'm going to stick with that. And we'll see how it goes. And there's other things out there that I want to see. There seems like there's been this explosion in my Netflix feed of new shows, where it for a while felt like there was nothing coming new, and now there's a bunch. Now HBO sort of there isn't a lot of new stuff, right? There's a new stuff. There's a new one that starts tonight, I think, called Physical.
Oh, and I think that's on Apple.
Oh, that's on Apple. You're right. Yes, you're.
Yeah, and actually, that was going to be on my list.
That's on my list too.
With Rose Byrne.
Yeah, with Rose Byrne. Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, right? Because she's like, what? Is she a housewife?
Housewife who turns into
in the 80s?
Yeah, 80s turns into a fitness instructor, right?
Yeah, but there's all kinds of issues, right? Because it goes into like, it gets into her head, and she's got all these like, you know, body issues, and I don't know if she's anorexic or bulimic or whatever, you know, one of those. So apparently, it gets a little dark. Supposed to be very good. Supposed to be pretty funny. But there's a lot of serious notes to it, too.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to be very good.
She's supposed to be great in it. So I will definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, I was curious about that one.
But there's other stuff, too. But, you know, my Netflix is going to probably overtake all else.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, you know, trying to make a list here. So my number one right now, which is going to be in a week, is a movie. It's a Soderbergh movie that's going to be released on HBO Max. I don't think it's going to the theaters because I would like to see it in the theater.
There's a few that
I don't
like
think
that.
It is.
Yeah.
I would like to go to the movies to see it, but it's called No Sudden Move.
Yeah.
And it's got a really good cast. It's got Don Cheadle, John Hamm, David Harbour. Is he the guy from Stranger Things?
Yeah.
What's his name? Culkin?
Oh, from...
From Succession.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser. And there's a few others. But it looks pretty good. It takes place in 1955 in Detroit.
Hmm.
And Soderbergh's getting back in with the crime thing again. So he's good at it. And it looks pretty fun. I would like to see it. And I love a good crime movie.
Yeah, I want to see that too. I saw it, and we talked about that before, I want to see Ted Lasso.
Yes. That was also on my list. Season 2 comes in a week or two?
Yep. And I think The Boys is coming again next season.
Oh, is it? Season 3?
So, yep.
It feels like season 2 just ended.
No, it doesn't. It feels like it's been a while.
Well, you know what? If you think about it, though, when we started the pod, we were just starting to watch season 2.
Right? Yeah.
So that was probably October. That was like November?
Yeah.
I guess, because it ended like before the new year. So time's going by fast, man. It's almost July. I was scrolling through the HBO Max, like the, you know, they have the hubs.
Yeah.
So they've got like the Studio Ghibli and they've got, you know, DC and all that stuff. So I was looking at the Turner Classic Movie section and I've been listening to a couple other pods and they were talking about movies from like 1975 or whatever it was. So I was going through the list of all the movies they had and there's a few I want to see. Like I never seen 3 Days of the Condor.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen that with Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway? It looks kind of fun. And it's funny because I was watching the trailer and then they get to like the very end. You know, they get to the tagline, Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
They're in danger and they're in love. 3 Days of the Condor. It was really, really funny. But it looks kind of fun. It looks like a good movie.
Know,
a little paranoia. It's got that mid-70s thing going on.
So the Olympics are coming, and that used to be a big deal for TV because all the counter-programming was lacking because nobody wanted to counter-program against the Olympics. But now I'm not sure if that's still the case. Streaming services, they don't care, do they?
That's back when it was, what, seven channels?
Yeah, but is that even an issue anymore? Although, it's not just, what is it, NBC? I think it's on NBC, this.
Yeah,
but it's probably on NBC and like and seven other NBC affiliated channels, too. Maybe things that would normally come in August are going to be pushed to September. I don't know. Stranger Things is coming and, you know, things like that. Maybe they're just pushed off until later in the fall. Normally, which happens anyway, because that's when, you know, we're all kids are back in school. And
yeah, but that's the old model.
That is the old model. But there's still a little bit of that. I mean, network TV still runs on that premise.
To a degree, but I think they're catching up.
The networks still make a big announcement on what's, you know, their schedule for the fall season.
Fall's going to be interesting, though, right? Because lockdown really hasn't ended until, like, recently. So a lot of stuff was not in production.
That was a question a year ago or so, whether there'd be enough content coming to fill the void. Because no one was making anything.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. Are you a big Olympics fan?
I used to be.
I was as a kid. Not so much anymore.
The basketball is probably the biggest deal for me. And some of the obscure sports. I like the winter stuff a little bit more than the summertime. Now that I'm sort of distanced from it on a, you know, I don't care on a daily basis about track and field or gymnastics. Right. All of a sudden it just hits you like at 1,000 miles an hour when you get to the venue in August. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to absorb, and am I going to put the hours in? Probably not.
Yeah, it's okay. My wife will watch it, and I'll probably get sucked in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I could take it or leave it.
It could blow by me, and I'd never even know it, I think.
But like I was saying, I was going through like the list of Turner Classic Movies on the HBO Max. And again, I saw 3 Days of the Condor. And what interests me about that is because it was in Out of Sight, going back to No Sudden Move and Soderbergh. Have you seen Out of Sight with Clooney and Jennifer Lopez?
When it came out.
You know the scene in the trunk in the beginning when they first meet?
I saw it once long ago when it came out. I don't remember.
Well, there's a scene in the trunk where they're kind of just, you know, they're talking and then they're talking about movies. And they bring up 3 Days of the Condor. You know, about Faye Dunaway and Robert Redford and their chemistry and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just like, okay, I kind of want to see it. So there was that. There was a movie that I saw recently. It's an older French film, The French New Wave, by Jean-Luc Godard, called Breathless.
Oh, that sounds familiar, actually.
It's really good. I never saw it before, and I watched it one night, and I got totally sucked in. It was really cool. I can't think of who's in it. I can't remember the name of the actors and the actress, but it's very good. I think it's not that long, but if you ever get a chance to watch it, it's really cool.
See it.
All in French. It's good. It's really good. There's another one. Did you ever see a movie called Smithereens? You were into punk.
I know the band.
But there's a movie called Smithereens. And I was looking through. I'm like, oh, that looks good. Maybe I'll check that out. So I put that on my list. I got to get back to Lupin Part 2. There is a true crime show coming on Netflix called Sophie, A Murder in West Cork, about a murder that takes place in Ireland.
Huh.
But it's a documentary. It's not a reimagining or anything like that. So it sounds kind of interesting. And it sounds like there's something to do with the French. Like there might have been like a French journalist that committed a murder and all this crazy stuff. Because I saw the subtitles were, you know, they were speaking in French. And there was English subtitles. So I'm kind of curious to check that out. Did you see the preview for this movie called Gunpowder Milkshake?
No.
but it's with Karen Gillan.
Oh, we like Karen Gillan.
Yeah, she's cool. I didn't realize she was Scottish. That makes her even more cool because she's the blue person, the blue character in the Marvel movies, right? And she's also in Jumanji.
Yep. She's great in Jumanji.
Yeah, she was. And she was also in Doctor Who, apparently. So it looks like kind of a shoot 'em up. There was a movie a couple years back. I can't remember what the name of it was. It might have been Shoot 'em Up. But it was with Clive Owen and Monica Bellucci.
Oh, I like Monica Bellucci.
And Paul Giamatti, I think, is in it. So it kind of has that same vibe. And Paul Giamatti is in this, too. So I don't know if it's a follow-up or anything. I don't know anything about it. But I saw the preview. It looks pretty ridiculous, but it could be fun. You know, kind of a John Wick kind of action movie. Yeah. So it could be interesting.
There's a couple things, and I've actually heard about them, that I forgot about. Schmigadoon. Apple TV Plus, July 16th. SNL creator Lorne Michaels' Lampoon series, Keegan-Michael Key, and SNL's top comic, Cicely Strong, star as backpackers trapped in a small town where everyone, including Alan Cumming, Kristen Chenoweth, Fred Armisen, and Jane Krakowski, live in a 1940s musical. That sounds funny.
Ah, man.
Here's another one. Mr. Corman, Apple TV Plus, August 6th. Those musicians who can, do. Those who can't, teach fifth grade in suburban L.A. Joseph Gordon-Levitt writes, directs, and stars along with Deborah Winger, Arturo Castro, and Juno Temple. The Chair, Netflix, August 27th. Wait for it. Sandra Oh stars as the first woman, or person of color, to chair a dwindling college's English department in a comedy from Game of Thrones producers D.B. Weiss and David Benioff. And David Benioff's wife, Amanda Peet, co-stars. Oh, no, I'm sorry, she's one of the producers. Co-stars Jay Duplass, Holland Taylor, and Bob Balaban. Ted Lasso comes July 23rd, August 31st on Hulu. Only Murders in the Building. In a 10-part comedy that's also a satisfying whodunit, three strangers obsessed with true crime stories, Steve Martin, mm-hmm. Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, investigate a gory killing in their fancy building on Manhattan's Upper West Side. Nathan Lane and Amy Ryan live in our building. She becomes my girlfriend, Steve Martin says. Tina Fey is a very famous podcaster, and Sting plays himself, a celebrity in the building.
That sounds really weird.
Oh, I can't believe Steve Martin would come back to TV. That's really amazing.
Sure, why not?
Wow.
Yeah, you pay somebody enough money, why not? I saw a preview for something called Primetime.
What's that?
It looks like it's like a French film.
Hmm.
Apparently it takes place in like 1999. And somebody, they take over like a TV station. I don't know anything about it. I just saw a little bit of the previews. It looks kind of tense. I could always go for a good thriller. But I think that's kind of fun when you just stumble upon something don't know anything about it.
I totally agree. Yes.
You know, like, again, going back to the Mayor of Easttown discussion, you know, while it was, you know, first we thought it was Mayor of Easttown.
Yes.
I thought it was an English.
Yes.
You know, I thought it was like an English whodunit. Correct. Turns out it's in Delco and it's Kate Winslet playing, you know, someone from Pennsylvania. But with that one, you know, you got to kind of get past Kate. You know, she's got to really sell it, because it was like, we had this discussion. It was a little distracting because she's such a high profile actress.
In the beginning, it was, yeah.
I guess what makes it good that it was a series as opposed to a movie, because it, you know, you can kind of grow into the show, if you will, or the show can grow on you a little bit. You know, as you kind of just forget who they are and realize, okay, no, they're playing this character, and it's a little.
That's true. Whenever you get a big name to your small screen, it's almost uncomfortable. And it takes a while to kind of get beyond the big name. And
right.
It's not just this massive star looking at you on your TV. You know, you're expecting to see that person in a theater and on 12 feet high.
And nothing against them or their abilities. It's just like, you know, you just don't expect that.
September 3rd, Money Heist Season 5A.
I gave up on the show.
It's
after
so
the
good.
Second big heist,
oh, it's
I
good.
Kinda... Is Tokyo still alive?
I don't remember. I think so.
Okay, you can't kill off Tokyo.
You know, the Spanish TV is good, too. I've seen a couple of Spanish shows. We talked about this, how Netflix and all these places are looking for content, and they're digging every corner of the earth, every corner of the world to find stuff. So...
Oh, speaking of Spanish, going back to, you know, HBO Max, future sponsor of What We Watch, When We Drink, they've got a lot of Pedro Almodovar movies currently available.
That's interesting.
So if you're into Pedro Almodovar, who's an interesting guy, they're out there. Yeah, they've got like Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down. He's very prolific.
Well, we have gotten through another one of these massive episodes of catching up of what we've been watching while we've been drinking.
Don't worry, I'll get it down to 15 minutes.
You know, we need to do like a 10-parter, like they're all 12 minutes long. We'd be perfect for Quibi. Quibi?
Quibi?
Now Quibi? On Hulu. Quibi?
Is that still a thing?
Well, it's weird, actually. I just read about this, that it isn't. So all the content got bought by Hulu. Hulu? Let's say Hulu. At like a, you know, for a song and a dance. And some of that stuff now it's got a place to go. And it's actually got some really good stuff, I heard. Now that it's got some actual support behind it, it actually could go somewhere.
Well, it's like that show Wayne we watched.
Yes.
On Prime. First it was on YouTube television.
Right.
But it didn't go anywhere. And then Prime picked it up, and now apparently they're lobbying to get a second season made. So, yeah. You know, we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Well, we have done well again. We have drank. We have talked. We have chatted.
Hey, did we pour one out for our homie?
Let's do that now. Real quickie.
Let's pour one out. All right. Let's do it.
I'm doing.
Let's do it. Good.
12-year-old Singleton. How do you say it? A Thrusk.
12-year-old
from 1978.
All right. I'm going back to my bullet barrel strength. Cheers to you, Mike.
Cheers. Mikey, feel better. Hold on. That's a better clink.
Feel much better. Put that mask back on, man. Put that mask back on.
Stay safe, buddy.
All right. What do you think? We're done here?
We are done. Another one's in the can, so to speak. What We Watch When We Drink, episode 16. We will see everyone real soon for episode 17. Take us out of here.
All right. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible, and God knows where else. You know, we're everywhere. We're like a virus,
and you don't need a mask.
And, of course, you could always find us on boozedancing.com. And please, 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 if you have any questions, comments, you know, cease and desist letters, all that good stuff, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com.
And rate us. Please rate us.
Yeah, why not? And, you know, leave us a review and all that good stuff.
Tell your friends, tell your kids, tell your dog.
Sir, it was a pleasure.
Cheers. Out.
Cheers.